Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to my Halloween episode, although it's not going to be like a special Halloween episode or anything. Yeah, I'm going to pick up right where we left off. And yeah, all right. So we left off in the middle of a chapter, which everyone knows I hate doing. But I was running out of time, so they're having a visit from Paul, and we'll pick up from there. Being a Susie homemaker was not what I wanted to be doing with my time. I just needed something to do. Paul must have been able to read my mind. Perhaps I have a job. Perhaps having a job will make you feel more comfortable and giving you some more distraction to help you. It'll give you a sense of normalcy, purpose, and will make this place feel more like home. Fat chance, but I didn't have another option of humoring him. I'm curious, I said, placing all the dishes into the sink. Do I have a choice? Chevelle asked. Of course you do, Paul said, meaning she had a choice. I didn't. She nodded. If you have something I might like doing, I'll take it into consideration. How's that? He nodded. As for you, Timber, you'll be looking after the children during the day here at the apartment. It's a good thing I put the dishes down already, because if he'd said that while I was holding them, they'd have crashed all over the floor. Excuse me? You'll be running a daycare here. It's a huge honor. Paul was beaming, like he just told me I'd won the lottery or something. A weak laugh escaped my lips, and I found a chair to sit in. Any other options? Unless you have any craftsman skills, no. All of our cleaning positions are currently filled, same with gardening. You're not a teacher, so you can't work in the school as one. Everything else is something an undesirable would do. I know some stuff about cars, I mumbled, and pottery, music, nutrition. I learn fast. Paul shook his head. Do you see any cars here? No. My superiors have seen how good you are with Lara and think you would be a best working with other children. The other things you've mentioned you could still teach them, or perhaps take some classes on them yourself so you could change your position in the future. However, we both know you're not an expert. You were an actor back home. That is not something we glorify here. I'm not looking for glory, I snapped. If I wanted special treatment, I'd have demanded it by now. That was my chosen profession. That doesn't mean I'm useless in everything else. No, it doesn't, but it does make you untrained in many things. All other jobs available are ones that require professional schooling. We hope to offer some of that in the future. Now, at the beginning of the next quarter, there was a desire to put on a play or show of some kind. You would be useful for that, he popped. Do you not like children? I had to be careful with how I answered. No, I like them. It's just taking care of Lara is one thing. We're kind of connected from everything that's happened. You talk about being trained for jobs and whatnot. Well, I don't have any training when it comes to taking care of kids. And the most I've had is a basic CPR class. I've never changed a diaper, and I know absolutely nothing about how to handle people under the age of 13. You're right. You don't have formal training. I presented this argument to my superiors. I wanted to be certain as well. They believe, however, that your heart is in the right place for such a task. You will not be alone. Chevelle is welcome to help you when she has time. There are other men who will be doing the same task for you to converse with, and I will stop by frequently as well to check in on you. It will give us plenty of time to talk. You would like that, right? His eyebrows raised. For a moment, I absorbed everything he'd said. There was no doubt that I'd be able to be nice to the kids. I'd be sure to try to be as patient as possible with them, too. But he made it sound a whole lot more simple than it actually was. Why me? At the same time, I sensed an underlying message to his proposal. If I did this job, I'd have the opportunity to gain more information. Of course, I could have been reading too much into it as well. Either way, I don't think I had much of a choice. I needed to work, not just to be considered worthy of my position, but also for my own sanity. If there was nothing else for me to do, then I was more or less stuck. The opportunity to learn more was tempting. Could I really take another pottery class? It was a hobby of mine more than anything I was good at. Talia and I had taken class together when we first met. One class, and that was all it took for me to buy my own wheel and kiln for my house. When I got stressed out, I mashed some clay around. I had yet to actually fire something up, though. Nothing I'd made was worth the effort. You would like to do more and go back to doing the things you love, too, right? Paul pressed. If that wasn't a hint, I don't know what was. Of course, I want to do a lot of things, I said icily. I'll give it a try, but I'm not going to guarantee anything, and so long as I'm not given too much to handle, of course. Excellent. Paul rubbed his hands together in a gesture all too similar to something I'd seen in a movie about the mob once. Chevelle glared at him from across the room. And what about me? You mentioned it could help Timber. I could help Timber babysit? No offense, but I think you're on your own, buddy. None taken, I mumbled. She already told me she wasn't into the kids thing. Still, I'd hoped she'd at least want to make my life a little less miserable. So what are my options? She asked. Paul's gaze moved between the two of us. Like I said, you can help him, but you're apparently not interested. A lot of the women like to buy things for the home, take classes, and join clubs. There are several of them based on different activities. I'm sure you can find one you'd like. Before you do that, however, you have to take a specific class on integration. A class on how to be one of your obedient, mindless puppets? She scoffed. No, we don't want you to be mindless puppets. Obedient, yes, but that is only because it makes things less chaotic for everyone. If there is too much disorder, then the purpose of the Aquaban's mission will be hindered, Paul stated. It is simply a class that ensures you understand what is expected of you. Timber will need to take it as well, but I will give him a private lesson on the matter. Awesome, I muttered under my breath. Paul gave me a look, so he must have heard it. I don't think he was mad so much as sympathetic. Surprising, since I was pretty sure he was licking boots and kissing as much alien butt as possible. Chevelle rubbed her arms. I don't want to integrate or take class or do any of this stuff. I know, Paul said, which is why I'm going to first strongly suggest you come to a support group for other women in your position, which you are feeling is normal given the circumstances you are in. Everyone handles the situation in a different way. Some embrace it, others try to flee from it while lashing out, and some slowly adapt. Then there are those who shut down completely. It isn't mandatory, since I'm not allowed to force you to do anything, but I can urge you to go. Just give it a try. From what I knew of Chevelle, I was pretty sure that was something she'd go for. Paul probably made a good point. A support group for her might help her cope better with the things going on. At the same time, it sounded like a great time to brainwash her further into the Aquaban mindset. Kind of a screwed if you do, screwed if you don't situation. She looked over at me, eyes a little wider, as if she were perhaps pleading for me to think of a way to save her. All I could offer was a shrug. Sighing, she fixed her gaze on Paul. I guess it's either I go to that or be stuck here with Timber and the babies. Fine, I'll go, once, just to see what it's about. Don't expect a lot, though. And the integration class? Paul pressed. One thing at a time. Let's do the support group thing. Maybe I was already starting to integrate, as Paul liked to call it, but I couldn't help but sigh with relief when she said she would go. Like I said before, I was worried about her sanity. If she wouldn't talk to me, then hopefully she would talk to somebody else. Chapter 41, Timber. I tried to hide my jealousy as I watched Chevelle head for the balcony door. It was a few days after Paul had given us our job requests, and for the first time since arriving on the Aquaban ship, I was going to be totally alone. Chevelle was ditching me for the support group, pretty much bluntly stating she'd rather be anywhere but by all of my daycare kids. As for Lara, she was going to school. A couple of her friends came by only a few minutes later before to pick her up. She was blending in well. Not only did she have a good, solid number of friends, but she also was picking up on who the adults were, too. I wish I could have sat in on the school day because I was curious what the kids were going to be taught. Would they learn the basic subjects like math, science, English, and history? Or were they going to be taught the ways of the Aquaman so they could integrate properly with the rest of the population on the ship? I really wanted to know. No, needed to know. These were the minds of the future being molded or warped by crazy aliens. But I was stuck with daycare duty, and I was petrified. Have fun, Chevelle offered with a wave as she headed out the door. Not amused, I glared at her, keeping my jaw tight. Perhaps I laid it on a little too thick because she winced before she disappeared from my sight. At the same time, I was kind of mad at her. She was leaving for a good enough reason, so I tried not to let it peeve me too much. The support group was necessary. I just hated that she was going for the simple fact that she didn't want to help me. I took in a deep breath. I've done worse things than change diapers. It's going to be fine. Paul promised me I wouldn't be given more than I could handle, and that he would help me for the day. All I had to do was make sure the apartment was baby-proof. I made sure all the dishes were put away, no dangerous items were on the table, and all the plugs were covered. I even pulled out a few toys from the nursery into the living room so the kids could have more space. There's a soft knock on my door that I recognized as being Paul's. He had a certain way of making it clear he needed to be there. But at the same time, he regretted intruding on anyone. The guy was weird, yet fascinating. I opened the door, waving for him to come inside. In his arms was a baby who was looking around the apartment with rather wide, curious eyes. The baby had dark skin and large, chubby cheeks. Thick, curly hair covered her head. Cute kid, and she wasn't screaming her head off or drooling everywhere. Yet. Paul held the child out to me, and with a lot of hesitation, I took her. "This is Monique," Paul said. "She's just over a year old." "Oh," I said. I know that information was important, but it meant nothing to me. There was probably a big difference in kids just based on their ages. I heard people talk about it before, but what those differences are is a mystery to me. My nerves must have been obvious. Paul put a hand on my shoulder. "Today, you will only have her. Tomorrow, I'll give you one more. At the end of the first week, you'll have three. From there, we'll decide how well this suits you. She is an easy one, I promise. Quiet unless something is wrong or she's hungry. She doesn't walk without holding on to something yet, and she doesn't have any allergies to worry about. Monique does like to chew, however, so I would make sure you're careful about what you leave out." "Uh-huh," I managed. "Three kids by the end of the week couldn't be too awful, right?" Paul walked into the living room to go and sit on the couch. I followed him, not taking my eyes off of Monique. Her gaze never left me, and her eyes continued to be wide, like she didn't know what to think of me. Could baby sense fear, or was she just confused because I was a new person? "Introduce yourself," Paul said. "Huh?" "Tell her your name." "Hi, Monique. I'm Timber. Nice to meet you." I smiled at her, and after a few seconds of just gaping at me, she turned with a large grin, showing a few of her new teeth. Paul watched us, also smiling. "I hope you know I have bigger plans for you than simply making you a babysitter." I looked over at him, not quite sure I liked what his words were implying. "Is that so?" "Relax. I'm not going to do anything to harm you. I chose this job for you because it would give us some time to talk and work alone. Your chosen companion hasn't been very cooperative. I see all you've done to try to get her to calm down and settle in. It's honorable. Not many are like that, you see." "Chevelle's having a hard time accepting things. We both are," I said. For some reason, I felt like I needed to defend her. Paul's smile never faded. "I don't fault her for having the feelings she does, just like I don't fault you for them either. I can tell you don't agree with anything that is going on, and you're hoping to just ride this out until you can go home again. There's a nervousness in your eyes, like you understand the full weight of what could happen should something go wrong. Chevelle doesn't seem to quite grasp that yet, though. I can see that when it comes to you, her eyes are opened a bit. Am I wrong?" I shook my head, slowly. "You basically hit the nail on the head." I averted my gaze to Monique. She had it easy. She was too little to understand what was going on. "Despite how frustrating your companion is, you still handle it all with grace. Your actions have not gone unnoticed. I appreciate that, and so do my superiors." Glad to know I was doing something right. Maybe then they'd look past all my flaws and not send me away or trade me to another woman. As difficult as Chevelle's moods could be, I at least was understanding her, and she respected me as much as I did her. We could play all of this to our advantage to get Wiccan out as well. Then, all of us could go home together. I took in a slow breath. "So, you said you had another job for me." "Yes, we are looking for someone to speak to the public for us." "I'm not sure I understand. The Aquavans want to address the people of Earth. They would like for you to do it for them, as one of the representatives," Paul explained. Slowly, the breath inside of me left my lungs. "You want me to be a spokesperson for aliens who kidnap people and tell everyone what exactly? That these guys are good? To not shoot us down from the sky? That you want $1 million and a continent to rain on? We don't want anything to do with this planet outside of preserve as much of it as we can." Paul laughed for a few seconds before subsiding back into his eerie, always present smile. I mean, I'm the expert of slapping on the happy face, but he had it down to an even more perfect art than I did. There was no way that he could have been in that great of a mood all the time. No one ever was. I lifted my gaze to meet his. "What do you want? Why do you want to do that? Earth is dying, and I don't see how this is any different than saving the polar bears, the pandas, or the endangered species of Earth," Paul stated. "If it is your business to save them, why can't it be the Aquavans' business to save us?" I shrugged. He did have sort of a point. "Probably because it isn't their fault we're dying." Paul's smile twitched just a tiny bit, and I knew he was hiding something from me. A big something. Pressing probably wouldn't be a good idea, but that was my first tip-off that the Aquavans wanted to save us from more than simply global warming and inevitable nuclear warfare. And I'm going to stop there. Again, I'm in the middle of the chapter, but I'm running out of time. So you all have a great day. Stay safe tonight if you're going out. And we'll continue next time. Bye.